Yep. Can you believe it? All right. Am I going to be visiting? I'm visiting.
All right, let's get started. Yesterday's daf was daf nun. Today is nun aleph. We'll do a review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be a schus. For all the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, they should be safe. Hashem should protect them. Should protect the Yidden all over the world. And also, have in mind for Lili Nishmas Yitzchak Keshav Ben Avram Gedalia, Bas Ami, Bas Shlomo Zalman Yom Yo, Sar Bas Menachem, and also for Shlomo Tadas Bas Ronya, to Miriam Bas Et Yizisa, Yitzchak Ben Yazava, Chai Rachel Bas Dvora, Tvita Ben Chasha, get the names, and Chava Bas Dali Hinda, and Shoshana Goldberg Bas Yal Rino, Besok Sharchol Yisrael, all also need a refuah, and with that we start our review. So we're starting third to last line. Bryce says that Bryce sounds exactly like Shmuel's opinion. How so? Because it says that whoever's in the worst position, meaning the one who was ripped off, he is in the better position. He has the choice, basically. So in other words, if again, just so you know what machlokes we're talking about, Shmuel had was of the opinion that the measure of onah is a sixth, but it's a sixth in any direction. If that number is a sixth of the sales price, a sixth of the value, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's all the level called onah, and the one who is the one that either undersold or paid more than it's really worth will be able to have the choice whether to go forward. So like that's an example here, that if he sold something worth five, but he sold it for six, so the one who basically paid an extra sixth, so the buyer is the one who was basically cheated on, and therefore he has the choice. If he wants, he could say, give me my money back. I don't want to buy the item anymore. I changed my mind. Or give me the amount that you overcharged me, and I'll keep the item. Or if the other direction, if it was something that was worth six, that was sold for five, so the seller sold it for less than it's worth, so then the seller is in the better position. If he wants, he could say, I'm changing my mind, I don't want to sell it anymore to you, go buy it from somebody else, or give me the amount that you underbought, you paid less than its value, back to me. Okay. Anyway, so again, it being that the first example that we brought down is something that's worth five, and it's being sold for six, that's only a sixth of the money. It's not a sixth of the value. It's more than the sixth of the value. Anyway, and yet it's still a din ona. So that's the concept. All right. So the shaila is, what's the halacha of less than a sixth, according to the Rabbanan? Remember, there's machlokes in the Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabbanan's opinion is that less than a sixth is, the line is 1/6, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, the line is 1/3. So the question is, what's the deal under a sixth? Is it an instant mechila, or is it only for that small same window? The sale is not finalized unless they can show it to a merchant who knows its value, or a relative to find out. And even under would be the same thing. Now you will ask, wait a second, if under a sixth is the same ability to sort of come back, so then what is the difference between a sixth and under a sixth? It's the same line. So the answer is that at a sixth, he has a choice. He could either retract the entire sale, or he could go forward with the sale and get back the overage. But if it's less than a sixth, then he has no choice but to go forward with the sale. And he just gets back the little overage that's under a sixth. So that's the question. So we brought a raya that regarding the story with the Tagre Lud. Remember, those are the merchants of Lud who initially were very excited about Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, till Rabbi Tarfon said the other part of his opinion, which is that they have all day to come back. And they said, you know what, we'd rather have the smaller window of the amount of time it takes to show somebody. That's the difference. So they came back to the so they reverted back to the Chum's opinion. So at first we thought that under a third for Reb Tarfon, this is the way we how we're thinking what the proof is, under a third of Reb Tarfon is identical to under a sixth of the rabbis. And therefore, if under a sixth the rabbis has also it's a window of Kiddush Yir or the Taker or the Reb Tarfon is all day, so I understand why they would not want Reb Tarfon's opinion. But if under a sixth of the rabbis is immediately a mechila, so then according to Reb Tarfon, under a third it's an immediate mechila. So as long as you keep your the amount of profit that you're making between that sweet spot between a sixth and a third, there's an instant mechila. Of course, you should go forward with that and prefer Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, even though you have a whole day, because the whole day is only when it's over a third or a third or more. So the Gemara says.
Discuss different products? Like certain products you mass produce, you're barely making any profit margin, and certain ones crafted and you want to make a big,
We'll get to a little bit. First of all, how would this applies practically is very complex because there's so many different factors. There's industries and there's different markups that's appropriate for the industry.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned a while back, right? A diamond can't have a simple markup because it would not be feasible to be in the business of ever selling diamonds if all you're making is a sixth on your diamond. Those are things that are sold very rarely. You know what I mean? They have a whole store with all the kind of market markup that's expected for different industries. So that's one
factor. Retail or wholesale?
Right. Wholesales work at different times than retail. Because again, each one has to take into account the expenses. A retail of a jewelry shop, just the cost of the retail with the security and everything is like extraordinarily more than a guy who's selling potatoes. You know what I'm saying? It's that different. You're selling smaller items, cheaper items. The markup can be a lot more. Anyway, the bottom line is, also how much volume, like in the coffee industry, right? Like the markup is double, let's say, whatever. Cost them a quarter for a cup of coffee. They're selling it for $4. It's a nice markup, but there's a reason why that markup makes sense, also because, after all, there's you have to sell a lot of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's a great markup, you have to sell an awful lot of coffee. Anyway, so there's a system where the values and how they work. So I mean, and we're gonna get to soon a difference between a merchant and a householder because they have different attachments to their things. So we'll get to that. But that's so we're slowly forming a picture a little bit to figure out how it works. But we did see that things that there's a demand of, like that everybody needs, like let's say a guy who sells bread or basic staple items, there's a limit on how much you're supposed to overcharge above. You know your costs, whatever, things like that. And so that's where it's really
perishables.
Right, perishables also. Right, you have to realize that there's a lot of loss. There's a perishable thing. There's going to be a loss. So all those things are factors in how the market determines the price. There's a science behind it. It's not just random. It's like, well, I charge the price that I can get away with. That's not. It's not really what it is. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So here's the lesson of Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says that actually, what his line of a third is actually a expanded line from over a sixth all the way to a third. It's the same as the sixth of the Chachamim, which basically means that there's still that window to come back, okay? So then why were they happy with Reb Tarfon at all? The only thing that would make sense that they would prefer it is because when it's over a sixth, what's the halacha according to Chachamim? We didn't speak this out before, but if it's over a sixth according to Chachamim, it's called a bito mekach. That negates the sale. That means the sale is no good. Well, how much time do they have to retract that? Maybe they have all that forever to retract when it's way over when it's even over the six. So then it makes sense that the rabbis would prefer, I mean, the Tagrei Lud, the merchants of Lud, would prefer Rav Tarfon, because what you call Bitul Mekach, I call Ona. And Ona is only for the day, not forever. Okay, and that's the difference. So that's what we're thinking. And then the Gemara says, so the Gemara says that not necessarily true. It could be, so maybe they were, the reason why they were happy with Rabbi Tarfon is because the difference is the sixth itself. Because what Rabbi Tarfon said is that a sixth is the same as under sixth, is mechila by that number. It's when it's over a sixth, all the way up to a third off, that's when you have this window. So they were happy with the sixth part because that was their sweet spot to make the profit anyway. Okay. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's mechila immediately and the Rabbanan say it's ona. Now, the next shaila was what we mentioned just before. When is the, what's the bitul mekach halacha according to Rabbanan? Meaning when it's over a sixth. Is he can kozer forever or is it also just for the small window? If it's just for the small window of the amount of time it takes to show, so then what's the difference between a sixth and more than a sixth? They both have that same window, and then within that window you can retrade. The answer is by a sixth, the one who was the one who either overpaid or undersold can come back and change and say, I don't want to go forward with it. When it's more than a sixth, both sides have a right to undo the sale. So what's the deal? So we brought down that the fact is that the Tagrei Lud went back to the Chachamim. If you tell me that Bitul Mekach according to Rabbanan is the amount of time that it takes, just that window. So Reb Tarfon, it's all day, so that's why they would go back. But if you say Bitul Mekach according to Rabbanan is forever, so then why would they leave Rabbi Tarfon? It's much better for them, Reb Tarfon, because they, even though it's all day, it stops at the end of the day. So the Gemara says that doesn't prove anything because it could be Bitul Mekach is not very common, and that's why, you know, it's not really the big benefit to it. So what's the bottom line halacha? This is what Rava establishes. Okay, so first of all, less than a sixth, it's instant. It's like immediate mechila. So it's, oh, if you overpaid by under a sixth, the sale, it's final. And he doesn't even have a window to come back to you. More than a sixth negates the sale. Okay, the sale's retracted. At a sixth, you're acquired. You do acquire it, but he has to give back the ona. And the amount and the window for both more than a sixth and a sixth is only the amount of time that it takes to show a merchant, like the Chacham's opinion, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Not like Rabbi Tarfon, that is. Okay? Okay. Now, we did see a Braisa going like Rava. Says the same thing, that Ona is less than a sixth. Immediately the sale is done. More than a sixth, it's batal the mekach, negates the sale completely, and at a sixth, it's kano maxim Ona, and that's Shitas Rabbi Nasan, which is the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, no, we give him the choice. The seller is on the upper hand if he was the one who's undersold. If he wanted, he could say, give me my purchase back. I don't want to sell it to you. Or I want the money that you underpaid. And it's all with that window. So that's what we'll get to. So, and that is where we got up to yesterday. That's a review of yesterday's daf. Okay, so today's daf nun aleph. We're starting four lines from the bottom of the page on daf nun. An masay muter lahachzir. So what's your window? Okay. So so we said that the window is b'chdeshir the tagar, the amount of time it takes to show a professional, a merchant who can appraise it for you, see if you overpaid or not, or a relative. Now, Amar of Nachman Loshono Lokeach, this window, the limit of the window, is only for a buyer. Okay, we mentioned Rav Nachman before. Aval Mocher, but a seller has a much larger span of time. The Olam Choser, he can always change his mind. Meaning, he can always come back. If he undersold it under its true value, so then he doesn't only have the amount of time that he could show somebody, he has a much longer time. Rashi explains over here that there's a main, very simple reason. When you buy an item, you have the item to show somebody. He says, look what I paid for this. Is that a good deal? And the guy will tell you, are you kidding? You're way overpaid. Okay, so that's, you can show it, and the guy can tell you what's the story. But if you sold it and you undersold it, you don't even have the item to know that you sold it under its true value. So therefore, you have to wait till you see something in the store, right? You see the same item that I sold for A, and I say, oh my goodness, this is what it sells for. I undersold it. I didn't know its true value. I didn't know what I was supposed to sell it at. So that is that's why the time frame is much more expanded because
well yeah the stuff you sold me the I underpaid for it was delicious. What do you get? You know, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right, that's a good.
What about like collectibles? If it skyrockets in value.
No, okay, right. I'm glad you asked that because that's the other thing that Rashi points out. Provided that the price did not change since. The market price of the item that was sold, it had not changed since that's that window. But the point being is, as long as it's still the same price that it was when you sold it, and it is now, so you have a much longer window. The idea is because I have to find the same item or similar item and see that, hey, wait a second, that market is way different than what I was told what it's worth. You know, sometimes you go into a store, these, you know, and they say, that's okay, and they tell you what it's worth, and they are not telling you the truth. It's worth a lot more than what they told you. So that's the story. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Classic case of an estate sale or something, an antique where you have a painting and the owner is trying just to clear things out. Some person died, they're cleaning out. And this thing was like a Rembrandt, I didn't realize it. And it's like, you know, for $50 you bought this painting, it's worth $5 million or something like that. So is that, if it's Jewish people involved in that?
It's a big issue.
But if it's an auction, the price was set by the auction, wasn't it?
What?
If it was an auction,
You
knew what's what, you knew that, you know.
You had your knowledge, you're
a collector, you know what's real. And you know.
This person didn't know. He's trying to clear things out.
That's a big problem. It's
so
not
the auction wouldn't exempt it from price fraud because it was a public auction. Anyone could bid on it.
If it's an auction, but what if it was an estate sale?
It wasn't an auction. He's not even talking about an auction. Selling it, whatever.
Most of the estate sales are usually auctions.
No.
Where they announce it. I don't know if it covers that.
Anyway.
It's still a blind item. You don't know what you're getting because you may buy a whole package of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of times. No, there are scenarios. You know, there's there's a whole bunch of these TV shows that are just only on this subject.
There's TV shows on every subject.
No. So Pawn Stars. But there's like what I'm talking about is that it's like you're buying whatever the contents of a storage wars, right? Storage wars, right? So it's like they have no idea what they're buying, and like and then they have to find it. You buy an empty storage unit and whatever it is, what it is.
They're all set up.
Yeah.
No, I know.
You know for a fact.
A neighbor of mine used to go to these auctions.
He said it's not really true.
No.
So, Rubensia,
that,
you know.
Right. So, listen, I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is, it sounds to me like on a simple basis, that's not appropriate. You can't do that. Okay. Because you're paying way under, and that's cheating him. That's what it is. It's two directional, it's not only one direction.
The situation where they hire an estate sale, they advertise in the newspapers that these are your items up for sale, they have an auction here, auction it off there. Does that.
I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't know if that solves the problem because the bottom line is nobody knew what they were buying. That's the truth. I mean, it wasn't being sold as the correct item, was it?
Okay. It said antique painting.
Whatever. Yeah, right. It didn't mention it was a Rembrandt. They left that out. Okay. Yeah, let's go. Yes, Yehuda.
Forever he can change his mind. I mean, I buy something, I buy a bargain, I thought I bought a bargain, and I sold it to somebody else, and all of a sudden, hey, the seller comes back to me and says, there was no deal over there. I mean, it's impossible. It has to be some point that you can ask.
You're right. Okay, so far, Yehuda, I understand your question. So far, here's the story. So far, all of the information that I have over here, that the olam is still limited. The limitation is, provided that the price did not change, that's one. And
prices change all the time. Prices flow up and down, you know.
So I know. So as long as it's, that's what it's saying. As long as in the meantime, so that's why it's a smaller window. It's not a forever window. It's a forever that the price is, so it's a couple of days that the price is still basically, price of a talis hasn't changed since the when it was done. That's the only window that it says. What's the story if you had sold it in the meantime? I don't know what to tell you. You keep going, go to the end product, wherever it is. Look, I sold it to Reuven, he sold it to Shimon, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, so till you get your item back. Anyway, all right, let's continue. Viter, where's my Viter guy? He's gone. Okay, he's not here. All right, let's get to today's daf. So, so here's the question. We want to prove it. Who, the Tagri Lud, went back to the Chachamim's opinion instead of Rebbe Tarfa. Now, if it's seller has always the right to go back. So that's why they're always in a better position. Because if it works, you know, because they have the window, the forever window, and the buyer has they're in the business of selling, and the buyer has a limited window, that's much better for them. If the seller's window is identical to the buyer's window, so it's an even playing field. What's the difference to them? They got the same benefit of that, whether you have the buyer has the window of the day, they have the window of the day. The buyer has the window of 2 hours, they have the window of 2 hours. So it's equal. What's the difference? The answer is, the difference is that they're professionals. It's very rare, it's possible, but it's very rare for them to make a mistake because they're professionals. They know exactly the values of things. Okay. So we got the story here. Ish bezichne the Rami Bar Chama, the neighbor of Rami Bar Chama, the host of Rami Bar Chama, Zavin Chamri, he sold wine, okay, and he made a mistake. He undersold it. Tashkei Davatzev, and he saw him really down in the dumps. Amrle Amayativ is why he's so sad. Amrle Zvini Chamri Vitoy, I made a mistake. Amrle Zelhadabach, you go change your mind. It's not a problem. Go back and get your money back. I mean, get your money back. Get more money, whatever. Get more money, whatever. He was a seller. So I'm like, but it's after that window. So Shadre le Kamed Rav Nachman sent him to Rav Nachman. I'm like, Lishon le Keach. That window's only for the buyer. Makes sense when you think about it. A buyer has the item to be able to price it. The seller doesn't have the item anymore, so he can't. It's much harder. So he has a much longer time. Now, my time, Lakech, explains in the Gemara, the buyer has the item in hand. Wherever he's going, he says, look at this new purchase. He says, how much you pay for it? They ripped you off. Okay. They tell him if you made a mistake, it doesn't. Everyone loves to do that. I mean, right? Everyone's an expert. It's like, that's how much you paid for that? I don't believe it. Okay. He doesn't have the item in hand. Ad the misrami lays vinta kizvinta till he sees another thing that's being sold that was identical to the thing that he sold. Viyada, then he'll know that he undersold it. Ita, if he made a mistake, vilita or didn't. All right, so that's the reason why the windows expanded. Next story. There was a fellow davenak at Barshchi. This one, he was selling silk belts. Okay, Kari Shisa, so this is interesting. So he was asking, his ask was six. Okay, you know how there's a line, where basically, when you start the bidding process. So you start asking for six, okay? Vishav Yechamsha, everyone knew that it was actually only worth five, okay? Or not everyone knew this, but listen. The true value is five, you start a little higher than five, okay? The guy would give him 5.5. Havashagli would be happy to take 5.5. What happened? Also, Gavra fella came. It's so cute, okay? Vamar, he said like this. Here's the Yiddish cup, okay? I know I could bargain him down to 5.5. So if I would give him the 5.5, then it'll be an instant forgiveness. And then I won't be able to get my money. So here's my genius move. Atin Leshisa, I'm going to not bargain with him. I'm going to say, okay, six, fine. Here's six, okay? And then tomorrow I'll take him to court and say, hey, or whatever. I'll come back and say, hey, you ripped me off. It's really only worth five. And then I'll get my free coin. Then I will have paid five instead of 5.5. So what do you think of that idea? So I was looking at the rubber. So came before a rubber. If this is an okay thing to do, okay? Sounds reasonable. You got it wrong over here. There's a very interesting qualifier on the whole thing. This is only true when you're buying it from a merchant. He has that, there's that the idea that he can't overcharge. This guy's a Baal Bayis. He's selling off, he's a garage sale guy. And guess what? Ain't no love or no. There's no or no in that direction because he doesn't want to part with his items. So he has a sentimental value. These are my belts. These are, you know, whatever. And because of that, his price is really worth more. And therefore, even though there's a point, really, if you go by the basic basis of the market, he doesn't have an obligation to sell it off at that price. He could set his price to higher, and it's not a problem. So it sounds like a garage sale, at least in that direction, is not Okay, you understand?
It's worth more to him. It's not worth more to the market.
Well, it's sentimental value.
Right, and it's worth more to him, and that's fair. And that's fair. And therefore, if he sells it for $6 and you bid for $6, even though you could say, but I was able to get it in the store for $5, okay. That's not, I'm not selling it for that price.
I wore this belt when I won the championship.
Right, exactly. It has a connection, right, exactly.
It was his father's garter.
It sent him, right, his father's garter. Right,
his father's garter.
Ahu gave David Nakit Kipi Lizvuni. He was, so he was selling nose rings, okay? Nose ring business, okay? There's one for sale, right? And Kari Sheetan, he called out the price of 60. V'shavi Chamshin is really worth 50. V'yavi Avli Chamshin V'chamshin, if you would have come with 55 cash, okay, on the barrel, so have a shakel, he'd take it, okay? So he's ready to accept 55. He's asking 60. And it's really worth 50. So also got the same story. I know I can bargain him down to 55. Then it'll be mechila. I'm going to give him 60. Then I can take him to court, basically, and get it down to 50, which he's not willing to sell it at 50. So also going to Rav Kitzur, came before Rav Kitzur. Same as the answer as before. There's no no. You're not getting any entitlement. Okay, very interesting. Amalir of Dima, Yaisher, Vachinam Reb Lazar, Yaisher. So Reb Dimi said Yaisher, that's correct, Vachinam Reb Lazar, Yaisher, correct. Aye, here's the question. Aye, Vanan Tanan, Kishim Shanov Lehed Yait, Kachay No Letagar, just like there's a no for a regular person, there's also an no for merchants. Now the question is, Naman Hed Yait, what do we mean by Hed Yait? La Baal Bais, isn't that talking about a Baal Bais? So they do have, so you just said that there's no ona to Baal Bayis. Here he's saying it is. That's something which is certain types of, whatever, it sounds like genes actually. Big day kanbus ha'imdim limachar. Avamani tashmish de diakiri ale loy masben lahu ilabit meyiseri. So there's certain, it depends on the item. If it's a, It's just a very functional item that doesn't have carried to it any sentimental value. So then they also have the same ona halachos. But something that's valuable, that has a sentimental component to it. So then there is a difference, and then he won't sell for a higher price, and he has a right to set that at that higher price because to him it's really worth more. So it's not really ripping off that much. Okay, in his mind, that's what its true value is to him. All right, which brings us to the new Mishnah. Both buyer and seller, yechlen ona, have ona. Kshim shona lehed yekach ona letagar. That's what we just quoted. And Rav Yehuda Omer in ona letagar. There is no ona to the merchant. There's no enough for him. We'll see what that's talking about. Mishutol Alav Yadal Yona. That's what we saw also earlier. The one who was on the one who was taken for a ride. He's in the upper position. Give me my money back. I don't want to go forward with the deal altogether. Or give me back just the overage. Okay. Now, Menani Mili, here's the question. How do you know this? The Tanur Banan Pazuk said, how do you know that it's both buyer and seller that share the protection of Ona? Okay? But as the Pazuk says, the Tanur Banan Chisim Krumim Kor Lamisecha Al Tonu. When you sell something, do not overcharge. That means that the buyer was overcharged. How do I know when the seller was underpaid that there's a protection there too? Tamalomer al kono or purchase al tonu. So it's not macher only; it's also purchase. We have to talk about both buyer and seller because it's one, it does not automatically equate in both directions. Why? After all, the likelihood is the seller knows what his item is. That's the standard, is that he knows what he got. How much did he pay for it? And therefore, the reason why when he sets the price over and above, he's like willfully ripping the guy off because he knows how much he paid for it and he's intentionally charging more than it's really worth. But the buyer isn't necessarily, he doesn't know how much the other guy paid for it. So maybe the guy got it really cheap. You know, so that's why if I pay under its true value, maybe I'm not responsible to give back the money. Maybe he's not subject to the iser of loytainu. Now, v'ikaz rachmana lekach, and if we just say the buyer side, mishum de kalkani, because he's buying. Ta'amri inish zamnis kanis. Ava mocher davude kamot. Okay, an interesting thing. When you buy something, you have something. When you sell something, you got nothing. No, because when you sell, you got money. Money is fleeting. Money doesn't last.
Money goes.
The item is the item. The money is gonna, you know, it's gonna go out in the laundry, whatever. Once you sell something, it's like there's no staying power. There's no staying power to the cash. It just comes. It just money like goes. It leaks. Whatever.
It just goes.
Ask you. They'll tell you.
Real estate.
No, that's a good question because is there a different halakha for real estate than it is?
Of course.
Yeah, there's different halakhas.
There's no nala karkos. There is no nala for land. There's no subject, not subject to that rule. Avo mocher davud kamovid ami inish. Inchi, people say, zavin ovid, ema lo azare rachmana. Maybe the seller is not subject to lotonu because, after all, he's always losing when he's selling. So that maybe I can get more money, you know what I'm saying? Like kol kavod, because after all, the guy at least gets the item, you know what I'm saying? It's like reminds me of what my grandfather used to say. You know, he told me, Yankee, you know, if you don't let yourself get ripped off, you're not going to have anything, okay? It's a deep idea. The point being is that you can't always get the fair deal or the best deal, because then you won't get anything. At least you have things. What?
Then you're not playing the game.
Yeah, right. At least you have things. That's the bottom line. You have things.
More work, but you have something.
Exactly. It's tangible. Exactly. I thought it was a wise advice. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amer. New thing. Rabbi Yehuda Amer. Ein aina l'tagar. There's no aina to a tagar. What does that mean to the merchant? The merchant, why? So the question is, what? He's not a Jew? Okay. Mishom shu tagar in laina. Why is that? Why is that a criteria? I mean, so what? He's a professional. He's a merchant. He shouldn't be protected. He also needs to be protected. So Amrav Nachman Amrav b'tagar safsa. We're talking about the Amazon guy. Okay, he doesn't own anything. Okay, he just buys here, sells there. He doesn't get very worked up. My time and made the other dizvinte kamashavi. He's not a fool. He knows exactly what the item sold for and what it's worth. And he is selling under because he knows he needs. He needs to keep moving, okay? Mm. So sometimes I'm going to sell something. There's a cost. I'm not holding in the sugya of Amazon sales.
There's cost of holding.
But there's a cost of holding an item for a long time. So at some point, I'm going to let it go for cheaper than it's worth, even though it's well under the value, because I need to move the money, because I need to put it into something that I will make money on. You understand? I got to keep the rolling. Okay. If it sits, it's costing me money just sitting there. Okay.
Merchandise.
This is a safsar. He's buys and sells. You got to always move, even if sometimes I move and I lose, but at least I'm moving, and then I can buy the next thing that I will make a profit on. So I won't make it here. I'll make it next place. That's the idea. It's intentional. It's not by accident. That's concept. That's the concept.
It's like a loss leader where he's intentionally.
That's a different. I think that's a different thing.
That's different.
That's a different concept. This is not a loss leader. This is because he wants the cash back. Because not that, because to me, it's worth it to me to get a fraction of my money, and at least I'll have the money to get the next thing where I'll be able to make a good profit. But I mean, okay, this one wasn't so good. You win some, you lose some. That's okay. I know what I'm doing. That's the point. Right, exactly. Why am I selling it so much cheaper than it's really worth? Because, yeah, I know, I could wait. It's true, I could wait and get it to value it, but that's like a month from now. But meantime, I have an opportunity to buy something else that is better, right? So that's what it's worth for me. Okay, and now he's changing his mind afterwards. Okay. Ravashi Amar Mai Ein L'Tagar Anah. What does it mean? Ein B'Torres Anah. He means that it's even better than that. He doesn't have the same threshold for Anah. Shafil Pachas M'Chdei Anah Chozer. If I'm the business of selling, then even a drop off, I'm protected. Okay. Tani Kavasa De Rav Nachman. We have a price that goes like Rav Nachman's Pshat, not Ravashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tagar Ein Lo Anah Mipnei Shu Baki. The idea is he's an expert. He's not. He knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, trust me. I know what I'm doing. That's a difference.
More to loss,
huh?
The profit. There's even more to loss than profit, right? If he sells at a loss more than a six, he can't go back. He sells a profit more than a six. He knows his business. He knows he's ripping the guy off his work. That's what I would say. That's what I would say. Rabbi Yehuda said.
Oh, Rabbi, one second. No, it's Rav Ashi's.
No, but we're
talking about Rav Nachman. Oh, Rabbi is saying Eino Nalutagar.
Right.
So in whose pshat is saying Rav Nachman or Rav Ashi's?
Well, Tanik was Rav Nachman,
it says. Yeah, right. So we're going with Rav Nachman. The Rabbi Yehuda's shita of Tagar Ein Leyana is with Bnei Shubaki. So yeah, but it means that even if he undersells,
if he undersells, yes, if he oversells.
Well, for sure. Right. We're talking about the one. We're not talking about the Tagar as a. They're talking about the tiger who's ripped off. Huh? We're not talking about the tiger who's ripping somebody else off. Right. That, of course, there is. Because it's the other guy who has the ona or doesn't have the ona. Okay. We said that whoever is the one who was being ripped off, he's the one in the stronger position. He could either undo the sale, or he could just get the true value. Now, Mani Masisin, our problem is our mission doesn't fit like anybody, because Rabbi Nasan. It's not Rav Nasan, v'lo Rav Yehuda Hanasi, and it's also not Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Why? 1 second. Okay. He Rav Nasan, because if it's Rav Nasan, my sneezing tani rata, obraisa luktan rata. In the Mishnah, it says there's an option, and the braisa says doesn't say that. And he Rav Yehuda Hanasi, my sneezing tani lekeach, braisa tani moicha, and the braisa only talks about a seller. So which is it? It doesn't seem to be going with. This is not fitting in with this mission. Is simply not the same. So Amar Blazer, Ona Zu Ein Yadam Yishana. So Blazer's like, you know what? This mission of Ona, I'm not sure who the author is. It doesn't seem to be reading like either like Rav Nasan or Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Nasi. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar No Lo Rav Nasan Eats Rav Nasan. Vitani Nami Bebraisa Ratza. You have to correct it. You're right. In the price, Rabbi Nasan didn't mention that, but you have to put it in. Rav Amar, no, Lo'olam Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It's really Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Yomai D'shai B'masisa, Kama Farish B'braisa. And what the Mishnah left out, the braisa added on, that it's both directions. It's not only the buyer. Okay? Amar Avashi, Deganami, Diktani, Echra, Lekechwa, Echramochar. It says both buyer and seller. And then it's in Bavarish Lelekech, and it only expressed an example of a buyer. Shmamina Shiuri Shaira Lemocher. We sort of left out the case of the Mocher. You figure it out. Shmamina, and that's basically, so really, this mission is really Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's idea. Okay, Itmar. Ha'imer Lechavira Menashe Ein Lecha Alaya No. This is an interesting idea. Here the guy's selling, and he's saying, look, you know, the deal's the deal. Okay? Menashe Ein Lecha Alaya No. I'm not, you know, you will not come back to me with no. You know, I'm not selling this to you unless I get a signed thing that, you know, no, you're not going to come back with overcharging things. I'm not interested in that. Rav Amar Yishlo Lavona. Rav says, doesn't matter. You got it, whatever. You can't back out. So what you said, just because you say it makes it legal? No. Okay, Shmuel Amar, in lo lavana. No, it's subject to mechila, and if the guy's willing to go forward with the transaction, even though you said that you won't come back to me that if it's overcharging, so that works. Okay, so it's a major machlokas whether you can be masna mashkas b'torah in dinim mamnas. Can you make a condition, waive your rights, basically? Right. So that's the question. Is it a waivable right in monetary law? So lemerav to amar kermeir, or Shmuel to amar kerbiuda. Sounds like that this machlokas Rav and Shmuel is machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Wow! So the Tanya to Brisa, Ha'omer Lisha, a guy goes wants to marry a lady. Harei mekadeshesli marry me amenash en lecha lai sher ksus v'ona. I don't want to have to have any responsibilities of marriage. I just want to be married. Okay, you understand? So I don't want to have to provide food, clothing, or even relations. All that it's not my. Not my responsibility. If I do it, it's out of a gift, but I don't want to have to be obligated. Okay? I raise my condition. This is a good condition. But tonight, Bato. What? Hand to get married? Hand to get married. Hand to get married, right. Hand to get married. You want your cake, you want to eat it, you want everything, okay? But tonight, Bato. But the condition is Bato. Okay?
Many people that get married to be able to come to America.
Oh, right, just for
they
that.
Still do that.
They still do that.
They still do that.
Right, it's a whole industry.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the illegal.
Yeah. Okay.
If you marry the right person, you come right in. So that's the system.
Anyway, so tonight, Bato. the conditions, there's no such thing as making a condition against the obligation that the Torah set. No. Finished. In the monetary components, your condition does work. Not so. In other words, out of share ksus and ona, so the food and the clothing she can forgive, but the ona, that's personal, that's relation that you can't undo. So you could say amenash en lecha lai share v'ksus. Yes, ona no. Now so that's the question: is Rav basically can you waive your rights? It's really the question. So we have here Rav Meir says no, you cannot, and we have Rav Yehuda saying you can. So Lachora Rav holds that you cannot waive your rights or whatever. So that's so Rav holds like Rav Meir. So Gemara says Amar Lach Rav, I know that Rav feel a little bit not true. I can agree with Rav Yehuda. Why? I can come Rav Yehuda some. Why? It's very different over there, because over there, the person, she knows what she's getting, and she's accepting it. She's saying, okay, I'm not getting the share, I'm not getting sus, but I'm getting a guy who's a nice guy, and he's not a creep. It's okay, I'll deal. It's fine.
It's
rare enough, you know what I'm saying? She knows it's
something
not. Right. The other kamachla, okay? Aval hacha miyada demachel. Here, I'm just coming in to buy a ring. What do I know? I don't know nothing. I'm just saying. He's saying he makes me sign this piece of paper. But I don't know that he's ripping me off or not. So I'm not. I don't know what I'm getting into. Really, I think he's being fair. So that's why it's not a real mechila. Ushmol amar another damei afilu mayor. I can agree with the mayor. Why? Because that kind of kamer mayor hasam el devade ka'avar. He's definitely being okay in the Torah, because over there he's saying explicitly that there's no sharing sus. I'm not saying that this is overcharging. I'm saying, look, this is what I'm willing to sell it at. I don't know its true value. I'm not a professional, but that's what I'm telling you. You can't come back to me with oh no complaints. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. So that's different. Over there, he's for sure coming against the Torah.
Why?
Where? By the sharing sus, by the I know what a man's obligation is to a woman. He's not. He's saying I don't want to have to have those obligations. That's against what the Torah provides.
Okay.
Over here, I'm not saying I'm overcharging. I'm just saying I don't know what the real value is on this thing. I just want to sell it at this price, and I don't want you coming back to me. That's the deal. So I'm not sure that I'm messing you up. I'm not intentionally messing you up. So that's why it's a big difference.
I don't see the relation with the mashal, but
You don't get the difference?
I don't get it either. I mean, I get.
Do you understand the two cases over here? We're comparing.
Yeah, but what's the relation?
That's exactly what do you mean? Oh, so it's very
known.
Simple.
One's an overfly factor, one's an
under. Exactly. That's all Rav Shmuel's saying. Over here, yeah. The guy's selling, I'm selling anything, an item.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm charging you or not. It's not a known thing that I'm going against what its true value is. It's unknown, okay. And you accept that even though it's unknown, that you're going to take it as a final. Okay. All sales are final, and you can never come back to me. Okay. So that's all. So that's very different than where the husband comes to the wife and saying, "I don't want to have to do A, B, and C, and D." Excuse me. That's what part of marriage is. You can't. There's no such thing as a marriage without A, B, C, and D. So that's why it's a bigger issue. So that's what Shmuel's saying. I could agree with Reb Meir that in terms of marriage, it's a no-go from the start. Whereas over here, even though maybe the agreement isn't works. Okay. Anyway, that's the story. So, Hasam el Devad de Ka'akar, Aval Hakam Yemer de Ka'akar Midi. Now, Amar of Anon, that's where I'm to. Lididi Mifash Lumine de Mashwal. It was clarified to me from Shmuel's opinion. Somebody says to his friend, it's all in the wording. If you say on the condition that you won't have on miona ein lo lavana, that works. Amanashe ein bo ona, but if you say a terminology like that, on the condition that there is no ona, that's being okur davar. Hareish bo ona, too bad, there is. You can't make it not exist. You could say you won't claim it. You forego it. You're waiving your rights to something. That's a different thing. But to say that there is no ona, if it is, it is. Okay. Basically, we have a question. So it's a major qualifier in Shmuel. Basically, here's a question. This is an interesting case over here. What that means is, that's basically like a consignment circumstance. Okay? You know, I'm giving it to you, whatever you're able to sell it for, good, and then you give me the money, and I'm relying on you, okay, and I'm paying you for, like your wages for selling it, okay, in other words, you didn't pay for the item, it's not your item, you're selling it really for me, and you get like a set amount, okay, and also, if it knows about mana, the omer lechaver al menashein lechalayona ain lo lavana works. So the question is, the Rav Amar not the Amri afil Rabbi Yehuda. Well, how many? The problem is, Rav said I could agree with Rabbi Yehuda because it's different over there than over here because the guy doesn't know to be Michael. Hamani, who could this be going like? So, Rabbi, you're right. Machfarta Rav Damar Kormeir. You're right. Rav can't be going like this over here. He has to hold like Kormeir. Ushmuel Damar Kormeir Yehuda. Shmuel must go like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Lechora, it's not fitting in. Because it's saying very clearly in this case, Amenash Ein Lecha Alayana, Ein Lo Lavana. Okay. So that sounds like that there's at least a Tana that actually says very clearly that works. So Shmuel is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav holds like Rabbi Meir. And this quote is Rabbi Yehuda, finished. Rava Amar Lokasha Kamastam Kamim Farsh. It's the difference between not explicit and explicit. Okay? Titania. As the Brisa says, B'medver Memorim Bistam. This is only true Bistam. Abu B'mefarish. But if you're explicit, basically, the seller tells the buyer, listen, this item that I'm selling you, for 200, I'm telling you outright, its true value is really only 100. Okay, and I'm telling you straight up, I'm only selling it to you for 200. If you want to buy it, good, but you cannot come back saying that you overpaid, because I'm telling you that you're overpaying. I'm not hiding it from you. We overcharge. This is the way it works over here. You know what you're getting. Interested or not?
What? Yeah. Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, we're proud of it. We're not denying it. We're being very straightforward over here. Saying lo lavana, that works. Same thing with a buyer that sells the seller. I'm buying this for you for 100. I'm telling you now, it's really worth 200. Okay, but I'm not going to buy it unless you tell me that you're willing to forego the true value and sell it to me for 100. Otherwise, I'm not interested. And you cannot come back and retrade. So, that's fine. He was machal.
That's the buyer saying that to the seller?
The buyer says it's a rebate.
I'll pay 100.
I know you need the cash now. I'll give you 100 for it. But this can't be enough.
But I'm telling you it's worth 200. I know it's worth 200. I'm ready to pay you 100. You take it or leave it. And no coming back with ona.
So that works?
Yes, because it's a mechila. Once you're explicit, you're explicit. That's the idea. When it's unknown, so it's an unknown. He doesn't know what he's getting into. But here he knows what he's getting into. And he suffered a couple. He thought about it, then he says, okay, fine. You know? Tan rabbanan ha-neisiv ha-neisiv ha-mana ha-reza lo-yachsha v'sara ba-mana v'sa-yafa b'shaba. What you cannot do, and this is a very interesting idea, it's a little bit getting into like foreshadowing to the Ribbis concern, the Ribbis idea that's coming up. Basically, sometimes you have a few things that you're selling. So there's things that really is a lot of buyers that are ready to pay top, that really goes fast. And then there's stuff that's going to be sitting on the shelf and it's going to take a long time for you to sell. The higher quality stuff goes faster, the poorer quality stuff goes, you know, whatever.
Depending on the neighborhood,
it
could be the other way around.
Right, whatever. Ella, so where's Yofi B'Shava? So Ella Ose, so you can't make the deal and say, look, this one, the Ra, you're not paying me for the bad stuff up front. I'm like, but the good stuff, you know, so like, you know, you're switching off. Basically, what you want to do is, I want to say like this, that the wait, basically what you're doing is the fact that I'm waiting for my money for the good stuff is the because of the tircha of the bad stuff. So in other words, he gives an example, Rashi. The guy says, there's two types of wines. There's the good wine that there's a lot of people buying, want to buy that wine. And then there's the bad wine that you can only sell it off very small quantities. So I'm giving you the good stuff at its value on the condition that you sell me the bad stuff. Sell on my behalf the bad stuff in the store, which is the hassle type of sale. As much as you could sell it for. And when you sell it, then you'll give me the money for both. So basically, why am I waiting for the payment that I'm waiting for my money is the extra labor that you're doing and the intensive part of the selling the stuff that's harder to sell. That's basically, it's very similar to ribbis, and that's why that's not allowed. Ela ozev zeh b'amana. Either they're both amana, ozev zeh b'shava, or they're both basically equal, meaning that you get your set fee of how much you make. And if you're paying off basically wages, it's almost like he's working for you. So basically he gets paid for his labor, schar gamal, the camel, the transportation, schar punduk, his inn, the fee for the inn, schar atzmo, einu noto, but he doesn't get wages for himself, shekvar nasal scharo mishalim, that was his, that he already paid that. Where is he giving that from? There's certain standards in different industries, depending on what you're selling. That's when you sell these canvas clothing, whatever, there's a set fee of how much it's basically they take for 100. That's what it is. And that's, in other words, it's a standard sale overage that's given in the industry. So
a markup,
yeah, right. But it's basically whoever's selling it is a seller's fee, whatever. It's a seller's fee, and that's what that's the thing. Yeah. Anyway, it's not exactly commission based. No. It's not commission based. It's a flat rate. Anyway, all right. We'll stop over here. Take it to Mishnah tomorrow.